O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The issue of assisted suicide has been very much in the news media lately, and that motivated me to look for an opportunity to preach on that topic. Then someone in our community, someone known and loved by many, including many people in our congregation, that person committed suicide. His family and friends were very open about speaking publicly of his death as a suicide, and that is very healthy. Many times I've done funerals for people who died by their own hand. Their families were either in deep denial or wanted to cover up the circumstances. You can understand that, but I don't think that's healthy. It seems important to me that we say what the church believes and practices regarding suicide. I won't be speaking about that individual in our community personally, but I do want to say several things about suicide from a Christian and pastoral perspective, with the emphasis being on comfort and hope. I think it might be helpful for you to know a little bit about my experiences and my credentials when it comes to suicide. When I was maybe 8 years old, one of my grandfather's brothers committed suicide. The adults really didn't talk to us children about it very much. In fact, they didn't say anything at all. They thought that children should be shielded from such things. But I overheard the adults saying that this was a total shock, that no one had no idea that he was about to do that. That planted the idea in my young mind that any adult at any time could take their life for no reason. That was not a healthy thought. These things need to be talked about by everyone, and it's good to include the children. When I was a teenager, one of my friends called me one day to say that he had swallowed a bottle of aspirin. He had received some devastating news. He said he didn't want to live anymore. Now, I didn't know whether to take him seriously or not, but I went to sit with him for a while. And let me say here that we should take all suicide threats seriously. The risk is just too great to ignore them. When his body rejected the aspirins, I knew it was no joke. For some reason, a lot of my friends felt they could confide in me, and he wasn't the only one that ever spoke to me about suicidal ideations. People in those situations need someone to talk to. Perhaps that's what pointed me towards counseling and a career in ministry. In seminary, courses in psychology and counseling were required. Prior to seminary, I volunteered on a suicide hotline, first as a telephone counselor, and later, after ordination, I volunteered as a trainer and supervisor of counselors. Before getting deeper into the topic of suicide, let's say what suicide is not. When someone is extremely ill and a cure is not to be, it is not necessary that we aggressively treat the illness, prolonging someone's pain. Certainly, we want to keep the person comfortable. We never want to do anything to hasten death. As I often say, though, in those situations, there comes a time when it's time to go and be with Jesus. That is not suicide. Hospice care and palliative care are blessings. Likewise, heroic, altruistic deaths are not suicide. When a first responder, such as police or fire personnel or military personnel, sacrifice their lives, saving the lives of others, that is not suicide. Some people have dared to say that Jesus' death was a suicide. They say that he could see how his teachings were upsetting people and they were getting him in trouble, and he could see where things were going, and that if he had wanted to live, he simply could have stopped preaching his message. That is just so wrong in so many ways. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate heroic death for our sake. What does the Bible say about suicide? There really aren't very many mentions of it. Moses and Elijah became so frustrated and so depressed by their ministries that they prayed to God and asked God to kill them. But God did not. He didn't strike them down. He strengthened them instead. He had more for them to do. When we're despondent and death seems better than life to us, God can raise us up too. He can give us new hopes and put us back on the right path, his path. King Saul and Judas the betrayer both took their own lives. By his disobedience, Saul lost God's favor and lost the kingdom God had given him. Rather than be captured by his enemies, he fell on his sword. We don't know what Judas' motivation was to betray Christ into death, but seeing Jesus badly beaten and headed for the cross, Judas hung himself. So how might we sum up together what the Bible says? All death came into the world through sin. And no doubt, sin played a determining role in Saul and Judas' death. Life is a gift from God. It is never God's will for anyone to take someone's life, not even our own. Only God gets to say when a life should be terminated. We shouldn't play God. That's the law side of the question. Here's the gospel side. John 3:16 may be the most popular verse in the Bible. Martin Luther called it the gospel in miniature. It was part of our gospel reading today. Hear it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There are several points that we can take from that related to our topic. Even when you feel unloved, God loves you. You are never truly alone. You are loved. Whatever emotional or physical pain you're experiencing, Jesus knows. He understands. Jesus suffered all that we suffer and even more. Again, you are not alone. God doesn't want you to perish. Certainly, he doesn't want anyone to perish eternally. He also doesn't want anyone's life in this world to perish prematurely. God wills abundant life for you. There is hope. When you became a Christian, God promised you eternal life. Your life in Christ began right then. The problems of this life are only temporary. Eternal happiness is waiting for you. In fact, it's already begun. And there is hope and there is help in Christ. Many of us were taught that all suicides were condemned by God. Martin Luther had something profound to say about that. He said, "I don't share the opinion that suicides are certainly to be condemned. My reason is that they do not wish to kill themselves, but are overcome by the power of evil. They are like a man who is murdered in the woods by a robber." From my work with suicidal people, I would agree with Luther that people contemplating taking their own lives are riding a huge wave of negative emotions, and yes, that comes from evil. The act of ending one's life is usually not a rational decision. One is not thinking about the morality of it or the consequences of it. They are overwhelmed by their pain. They are not culpable. But Luther was hesitant to teach this publicly. He had some sympathy for those who rail against suicide so as not to encourage people to do it. One of the effects of suicide, a devastating effect that it can have on others, is the grief that comes with the loss of any loved one. But the survivors may also feel guilty because they didn't foresee their loved one's suicide and do something to stop it. And they may feel angry at being abandoned. That's only natural and normal to feel those ways. God understands. While the person committing suicide may feel that the world and his family is better off without them, the truth is they are not. Please think about your family before acting on any urge to harm yourself. Another thing to think about, and this is something that I had never thought about until I was confronted with several cases where this happened, some people actually don't kill themselves, but they do themselves irreparable, severe bodily harm. And that's an awful situation to have a permanent disability like that. Please don't risk it. Think of your loved ones. Get help. I'd like to dispel a few myths about suicide in case you have a situation where you know someone who is suicidal. People often think that mentioning suicide to someone who is depressed will plant that seed in their thinking. Not true. Nearly everyone has thought about suicide at some point in their life, and that's especially true of depressed people. You are not introducing a new idea, and if someone hasn't thought about it, just asking them if they're feeling suicidal certainly won't make them do it. And it could actually begin a conversation that will prevent them from doing it. Some people say that those who talk about suicide never actually do it. That is false. Those who talk about it often do. Take every threat seriously. People also say that once someone has made up their mind to end their life, there's nothing you can do to change it. That's also false. Here's what you can do to help someone who's suicidal. Go where they are and stay with them. Talk to them. Let them know this doesn't have to happen. Tell them that if they only hang on, the urge will pass. Let them know that you care for them. Share your faith with them that there is help and hope in God. Encourage them to get professional help. Don't leave them until you are sure that they are no longer a threat to themselves and that you have a promise from them that they will not hurt themselves, they will get help. Of course, remove any weapons or pills or whatever. I began by saying that assisted suicide was the issue that got me started down this path. Many places in Europe and Canada, a person can choose to end their life with few restrictions. Not only is that available for the terminally ill, but to more and more people who are depressed or just tired of life or for any reason or for no reason at all. As we said earlier, only God gets to make that call as to when a life should be ended. This is not like Luther's robber in the woods killing a victim. This is more like a premeditated murder where the victim is oneself and those who assist are accessories to the crime. We cannot condone flagrantly mocking God's sovereignty over life and death that way. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Let us embrace Christ. Let us embrace God's will for our lives. Let us embrace his salvation. Amen.